You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and for new listeners, we're still on a summer schedule, so there's no Friday show, but next week we'll go back on to a full schedule, Monday through Friday. The only exception is that the first Tuesday in every month we have, where all the afternoon shows are preempted because of the Dallas County Community College Board of Trustees meet, and we broadcast on the radio, so my show as well as others will be preempted. But to make a long story short, after that, we'll be on Monday through Fridays as we were, and we'll continue that schedule until next summer. Today, I wanted to have a number of stories, and some of them are not stories. They're more a continuing trends in the health of the American people, what they're eating, and what they should be eating but are not eating. But first, today, we learned for the first time that Donald Trump's approval ratings in terms of job performance hit 50%. 50%. That's the Rasmussen poll, and I give a lot of credibility to the Rasmussen poll outfit. I think they do an outstanding job, and for new listeners, you can see some of their information on my notes, my show preparation. And the way you get to that, as well as listen to the show, is go to my companion blog for the show is prankpops.wordpress.com. That's prankpops, prankpops.wordpress.com. And I have links to the most recent 60-80 shows under my photograph. But under that, I have cartoons, photographs, charts, articles, YouTube videos pertaining to the stories that I'm covering. So I wanted to not only look at Donald Trump's popularity, which is going up. He's actually doing better in point in time into his first term as president. I think he might very well get a second term than Obama. I wanted to see, and I was curious. And for new listeners, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm very much an independent. And I believe nothing really is going to happen in Washington, D.C. until we have a new third party that's viable, and I emphasize viable and successful, a national party that is truly believes in limited government, supports an agenda that would limit the size, the scope, and the role of the government, and reflects a philosophy of the founders of this country, which was very much classical liberalism. And today we have two parties that are largely big government parties. There are differences between the party. I don't deny that. But overall, what's happened in the United States for 120 years? This is a long, long, long trend. Government at all levels has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So has Americans have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm going to cover that later in the show. And I'm talking about the fact that now over 70% of the American people are obese or overweight. Now, obviously, if you're overweight, you may or may not be obese, but the latest statistics is just under 40% are obese. So a little over 30% are overweight and not obese. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one health problem in the United States, because obesity leads to the killers: heart disease, cancer, stroke, as well as diabetes, high blood pressure. And I'm somewhat of an expert of it. I have that problem myself. But it's what's scary, and I mean scary, more and more children have it as well. And the trends keep going up, up, and up. And it's not only in the United States. It's worldwide. This is a problem for a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of information that you can look at it. Part of the problem is the diet includes a lot more sugar today in the foods that we eat, especially corn, fructose. So I'm going to spend a little bit of the show on that, because of the health consequences that will, over the lifetime of anyone that is obese, and usually what happens as you get older, you get fatter. So you got to continue to exercise, and I think that's the number one problem. You truly have to exercise nearly every day for at least a half an hour of walking, or someone more strenuous depending on your age, and proper diet, proper sleep, and eating the right foods. So I'm going to have some thoughts on that, and that will be the last story. But I was interested in the fact that with Trump hitting 50%, where does the party affiliation numbers break out? And you can, Gallup has been polling that for several decades. And the numbers go up and down, obviously, and they do it a couple of times every month, and I've cut and pasted the numbers, but I was curious. This is as of July 1 through 11. It didn't surprise me, because I'm very familiar with the numbers, but in terms of party affiliation, 41% of the American voters consider themselves independents. That might surprise people that are not aware of this. Democrats are 30%. And Republicans are 26. Like I say, the number has bounced around. But there's a long range trend of both the Republican and Democratic Party numbers going down, very much going down, and independents going up. Usually, if the independent number is usually between about 40% to about 47-48%. And as the independent numbers go up, what happens? The Democratic percent goes down, so does the Republican. And you can see how the numbers have played out. What my theory, and I think it's more than a theory, though, but nothing has fundamentally changed yet. You won't see a true national party, a successful one, a viable one, until the number of independents is consistently over 50%. And we have not, the number of independents is not 50%. It's never hit 50%. Oh, it's hit 47, I know that. But usually it's between, again, 40, 45, 46, 47. And it does very much depend on whether it's an election year, who's running for president. The numbers are going to change, but that's good news. But what's the problem if you're an independent? You truly don't have anyone to vote for. You don't have a party to vote for, and you certainly don't have a candidate to vote for. So usually what Gallup does is, and they have a separate chart on that, they include Republicans and independents that are leaning Republican, and Democrats and independents that are leaning Democrat. When you break it out that way, it's almost a dead heat. And it depends on when you're polling, but it's about between 40-44% for either the Democrats or the Republicans. For example, the last one they did, 40, if you count Republicans and Republican leaners, in other words, independents, you're talking about 40%. Democrats, it was about 44%. You still have independents that are not leaning either way. So as more and more people abandon the party and become independents and truly abandon the party, they have no interest anymore in being considered either Republican or Democrat, and they don't lean anymore. Most of them either stay home. They'll occasionally vote for a candidate that they can support. But as that number of independents breaks 50% and the leaners goes down, it's then that you'll see the emergence of a new political party. We need it desperately right now. But I'm a realist here, folks. to get a true national party is going to take a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of organizing, and a lot of people have to support it. It's not a one candidate, one race proposition. And you're fighting the duopoly, political control by either the Democrat or Republican parties. Now, why is this happening? The American people are waking up to the fact that we have serious financial problems. The federal government is just simply too big, and there's no true attempt to balance the budget at all. And the only way we can get control of spending is fundamental reform of entitlement programs, welfare programs, national defense, and we're not doing it. If anything, we're looking for ways to expand the government, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. So the American people have said enough is enough, and what they really don't like is when the parties don't listen to them, where the elites, the party leadership in both the Democrat and Republican Party, and in what I call big media, or big lie, I call it big lie media, the television networks, CNN, the cable news, as well as the few city papers that are still publishing, and that's been a long-range trend. More and more people are not watching news on television. I certainly don't. Oh, yes, I'll go to YouTube and see certain shows, mainly on Fox, but I don't listen to the nightly news at all. Only if I'm in the newsroom and it's on will I listen to it. The American people simply don't trust big lie media. And that's a point I want to emphasize, and it's related to Donald Trump, President Trump hitting a 50% approval rating. What I think's going on is the over-the-top criticism, and really unfair criticism, treatment of the President of the United States by all the networks and cable news, CNN, and even Fox, to a limited extent, is so negative on the president that it's turning the American people off. If anything, part of the explanation of his approval ratings is the fact that the American people no longer trust big lie media, and they don't like the way they're treating this president. It's certainly not fair. Now, let me make very, very clear here. I believe that we need a press, newspapers, radio news, television news, magazines, journals, that ask the tough questions and is accurate and not biased. Good luck with that. Many of the people that supposedly are newscasters or anchors, what are they doing? Not only are they biased and slanting the news, they're giving their opinions. And many people, and they do it and get away with it because many people don't understand there's a sharp line between news, or what I sometimes call straight news, or just the facts, please, and giving your opinion or commentary or take on a situation. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm not doing news. I'm doing my commentary, my opinion on the news, as well as others. I'm not doing a newscast. And much of talk radio is opinions of people, some informed, some not. People make mistakes. I make mistakes. If you're human, you're going to make mistakes. You try to minimize your mistakes. What I'm talking about is trying to confuse or blur the line between what should be a newscast versus providing their opinions on it. I think what's irking big lie media is the fact, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, I'd even say into the 70s, they dominated news. And remember, news at one time, especially early years, was 15 minutes. It wasn't an hour show. And it wasn't even a half hour. Only over time did they go to a half hour into an hour. One of the reasons it's cheap, or at least was cheap. But now, if you look at Fox is a good example. Most of the shows, whether it's Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and even some of the shows right after the nightly news, Fox Nightly News, they're opinion shows. The majority of the time, it is labeled correctly, they're opinion shows. I have no trouble with that. But the trouble that the American people have is when they go to listen to a newscast, it's abundantly clear what it doesn't matter whether it's ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, they're negative on Trump, even though he's accomplished a lot. And they're all doing the same thing. And many of them are keying off of the New York Times. Now, the New York Times at one time, the way they would do the news is they first would read the New York Times, and I'm from New York, and I used to read it. I haven't read it in decades. They would read the New York Times, and then they would lead usually the first three or four or five stories. The reason they had that was because that was the lead stories in the New York Times, maybe the Wall Street Journal occasionally. Not anymore. Today, people in talk radio, I'm definitely do this, but other people do as well. They usually start with the Drudge Report, and I do as well. My only problem with the Drudge Report, there are many things that he's interested in that he has on it that, I'm just not interested in. And remember, there are hundreds of news stories every day. So I'm very, very selective, and this show, quite frankly, at least two of its, two and a half are based on news stories. In other words, there's a news hook, if you will, but the other ones aren't. Now, what also is driving the popularity of Donald Trump, besides the reaction against big lie media? The growth of the U.S. economy and the extent that it continues to grow. And I mean at or above the trend. And the trend in GDP for the United States is somewhere between 3 and 3.5%. To the extent that the annual, I do not mean quarterly, the annual growth rate is between 3 and 3.5%, you're at trend. If you're above that, and 4.1 for the first quarter is above that, even though it's the advance estimate. The problem in the Obama years, we never really got to 3%. We were slightly under, and some, you know, through the entire Obama 8 years, it was a little over 2%. But that's significantly below 3%. It's a third less. It's like going at two-thirds speed. What we're doing now is very much an expanding, I won't say booming economy, but definitely an expanding economy. And it looks like we'll have a very good third quarter that might be at definitely above 4%, but maybe even 5%. Now, I'm not making any predictions, but I will tell you, any president, especially going into a midterm election or a presidential election, where the annual growth rate, not a quarterly rate, the annual growth rate is over 4%, is going to win. Because a 4% or more growth rate means your unemployment rate is going down under 4, maybe even under 3, and that's the U3 rate. Which is good, and then more and more people that are now not working will come back into the labor force. In other words, labor participation rate should go up, and you need to get it back to where it was under President Clinton and the first term of President Bush. In other words, you want it at 66 to 67%. Ideally, you would like the unemployment rate definitely under 4%, ideally under 3%, and that's rather rare, but it has been under 3%. So if you have a president with those kind of numbers, I won't say he's unbeatable, but the American people like it. They like pay raises. They like having a job. They like having a good paying job with benefits. So keep that in mind. It is the economy, stupid. It very much is the economy, stupid. And the numbers of Trump look good. And keep in mind, and I said this on my last show, there is a lag from the time economic policy is implemented until it starts to take effect. And my rule is the first year of any presidency, you're seeing the results of the economic policies of the previous president. 2018, it's all Trump. 2017, it's all Obama's. So if, and it's a big if, it's a challenging if, Donald Trump's economic policies in terms of tax cuts and cuts in regulations impacts the economy such that we get 4, 5, 6% annual rates, he's going to lock in a second term. Now, what could screw this up? Well, one would be that the Democrats take control of the House. If that happens, you're not going to get a second tax cut. You're certainly not going to get tax reform. The Democrats are a big government party that want to increase taxes. Like, we got to increase the taxes on the rich. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something, and I didn't put it in this post, but the bottom 50% of U.S. taxpayers pay less than 3% of personal income taxes. Keep that in mind. What's the big tax that they pay? Payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare, disability. Those are the biggies. And this Trump tax cut, why, it cut the corporate rate from 31% to 21%. And that's good. Any tax cut is good. They didn't cut spending, and that means they're financing it, paying for it by increasing the deficit, which in turn increases the debt. And there was no relief in terms of payroll taxes. I'll say it briefly. I'm not going to make this show about tax reform, but we need tax reform. We need to do away with all federal taxes, all federal taxes that we currently have on the books that are largely based on personal income, as is payroll tax. In other words, do away with all existing taxes and go from an income tax-based system, whether it's personal income tax or payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability, change the tax system and go to a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of the fair tax. Many, many people are familiar with that. That's what you need to do. Or my version of it, which is actually a lower tax. The tax on the fair tax is 23%. And it has, now some people like to criticize the fair tax, as well as my fair tax last, as being regressive. The burden of the taxes is, the incidence of taxes is what the economists call it, is on low income. That is a legitimate criticism. And that's why both the fair tax, in my version of it, fair tax less, deals with that directly by having a tax prebate. Now, the fair tax has a tax prebate. In other words, you get money each month from the government. It depends on, for example, if you're a single taxpayer, you get $1, a certain dollar amount, and it's tied to the poverty level. It's complicated, and the number's going to change year to year. A husband would get a tax prebate. A wife would get a tax prebate. You'd get a prebate for children as well. That's the fair tax. My fair tax less is a lot simpler, and it's a lot easier to explain. You'll get a check in the mail or sent to your bank account each first of each month. All U.S. American citizens, not illegal aliens, not people that are working their way to citizenship, but American citizens that are 18 years of age or older will get from the United States government a check for $1,000. So if you're single, it's $1,000 a month, a total of $12,000 a year. 12 $1,000 checks. Now, some would say the fair tax and fair tax less is a sales tax. It's not a no sales tax that I know, and I'm in a state that has a sales tax, sends me a tax prebate. I've lived in Texas since 1978 after getting out of the Air Force. I moved to Fort Worth, and then in 1984, I've moved to Dallas. So I've been in Texas many, many years, and they have an 8.25% sales tax. Oh, yes, they exempt food, but there's no tax prebate. The fair tax as well as fair tax less, there is a prebate. Now, what's the prebate? Everyone, U.S. adult gets the prebate. It doesn't matter how poor you are or how rich you are. Donald Trump would get a prebate. His wife would get a prebate. All his adult children would get a prebate. His youngest son wouldn't get anything until he turns 18. And what's the tax? Remember, the fair tax is 23%, the tax on new goods and services. When you buy a new good or service, would be 20%. So when you look at the 20% tax when you buy new goods and services and the prebate, what it translates in, what it means is this. If you spend $60,000 a year or less, you'll pay no taxes. I mean no taxes, because there's no longer any personal income taxes. There's no more capital gains taxes. There's no more payroll taxes. Something along the fair tax. I'm happy to, if he would have advocated the fair tax, I would have been dancing in the streets. I have no pride of authorship of my version. I just try to make it a lot simpler and somewhat more generous by having a lower rate and more of a prebate. And my back of the envelope estimate is that roughly about 60% of U.S. taxpayers will no longer be paying any taxes because it's a per person, per adult American citizen gets the prebate. So if you're single and pay $60,000, you buy $60,000, what's the tax on that? 20% is $12,000. When you go, I always use my bread example. If you buy a dollar loaf of bread, in the price of that loaf of bread, 20% will be the tax. And I'll make one more thing clear and I'll get off of this. Right now, you don't know it, but when you buy, for example, that loaf of bread, about 23% are federal taxes. They're built into the price. The people that got the loaf of bread on the shelf, all the people involved in that had to pay federal taxes. And it's embedded in the price of any good about, it's an estimate, folks, about 23% are federal taxes. And that includes payroll taxes as well as income taxes. All those taxes go away. Keep that in mind. But what replaces it? Either the fair tax or fair tax less. So if let's say you're husband and wife, it doesn't, you no more income tax returns. That's what I need to say right off, number one. Number two is your gross income is your income. There's no more withholding and there's no more deducting for Social Security, either by you or your employer. So your employer might very well should, and you should negotiate for a pay raise because he's no longer going to be paying payroll taxes and neither are you. So your most employers will increase your pay because of that. You know, some greedy bastards won't do it, but keep that in mind. Now, what's one of the biggest advantages? And it costs companies today over $500 billion. And this number keeps going up, up, and up. And I need to check. It could be 600 by now. But if you look at all businesses, and it's primarily businesses, some individuals, it's called tax compliance. It's a drag. It's preparing your tax return. Ask President Trump how much it cost him to prepare his tax returns. A lot of money. And multiply that by the hundreds of thousands, millions of people that are running businesses. It's expensive just to figure out how much money you owe the government. That goes away. There's no more income taxes, payroll taxes, nor are there capital gains taxes. You see, if Donald Trump were smart and really wanted to take on the establishment, he should be the champion of either the fair tax or fair tax less. Who's against this? The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and most of the donor base. Why? They like the status quo. They like the status quo, even though the cost of compliance is over $500 billion. And of the bottom 50% that fill out the returns, they only pay, it's less than 3%, folks. It's really the top 1%, 5%, 10%, and really they pay the overwhelming majority of taxes in terms of personal income taxes and as well as estate and gift. The estate and gift tax would go away, no more capital gains. We'd have one single tax. It would be totally transparent. On your receipt, when you buy anything, they should break out how much of the total you paid for whatever goods and services. Let's say you spent $100. Well, if we had fair tax less, $20 were taxes. Now, that money will first go to the state, then to the federal government, minus a small charge handling fee by the retailer. And for all practical purposes, you don't need the Internal Revenue Service anymore. You're going to need a few hundred people, to administer and make sure that employers, people that are selling goods and services, actually pay the tax. I'm not saying, and I would change the name. It no longer would be the Internal Revenue Service. And then you would also have to send the monthly checks, the prebates out. That's how it works. Now, I'm not going to spend any more time, but why is this needed? You want to get the economic growth rate of the United States above 5-6% and encourage businesses, not only in the United States, but businesses coming into the United States, jobs coming back, plant and equipment coming back. What you want is the most efficient, fairest, least costly tax system in the world. In other words, the best tax system in the world. Bar none. Why? There's no taxes on labor. That's when you work. That's called labor. No taxes on labor. There's no income taxes or payroll taxes on labor. And there's no taxes on capital when you invest. You don't have the IRS or the federal government really with its hand out when you invest and over time do well. And then when you cash out or sell your stocks, bonds, real estate, whatever, want a cut of it. No more capital gains. What you would have is a booming economy for decades. That's all the good news. What's the bad news? 90% in any given year. For example, right, let's assume we had the fair tax already in place and we're preparing, and they're doing this right now, the 2019 budget and appropriation bill. Are they going to balance the budget? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans, neither political party can balance a budget to save their lives. So you got to force them to balance the budget. How do you do that? The maximum the federal government could spend in fiscal year 2019, that starts 1 October of 2018 and goes to 30 September 2019, would be 90% of what the federal government collects under fair tax less for this year. For the previous year is what I'm trying to say. So whatever they collected, let's say it was in effect for the last 12 months, 90% is the maximum. Now, they don't have to spend the maximum. They can spend less. And the other 10% pays the debt, pays off the debt gradually. Do you think representatives and senators? Now, there are some that are for the fair tax. Get this clear. It's the last point that is new. Why did I do that? I looked over the last 120 years. There have been very few balanced budgets. It doesn't matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. They're not fiscally responsible. It's gotten worse, worse, and worse. I'm a believer in fiscal responsibility. Balanced budgets. No more deficit after deficit after deficit. And the way the United States has been paying its bills is borrow, borrow, borrow. The national debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what they're not telling you, the reason why they're doing this is they have unfunded liabilities and obligations to pay Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and still Obamacare, which has not been completely repealed. We need responsible, financially responsible people in the House and the Senate and the presidency. And ladies and gentlemen, if you keep voting Democrat and Republican, you're not going to get it. It's that clear. And if you're wondering why the American people are leaving both parties, they've figured it out. And they figured it out that Democrats in particular, are no longer for working Americans. They're more concerned about criminal illegal aliens. Enough is enough. If you want to know why President Trump beat 16 Republicans and supposedly the sure thing, Hillary Clinton, the first woman president, how did he beat him? He made the illegal invasion of this country over the last 20 years an issue. And he wants to build that wall to stop it and roll back the 30 to 60 million that are here illegally. And who's fighting him tooth and nail? The leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They won't fund the wall. They won't balance the budget. They will not fundamentally cut taxes and reform the way taxes are collected. In other words, they're for the status quo. And nothing fundamentally changed. And where does that end? In a warfare and welfare state. And that's exactly what we have today. What do we have to show for? Piles and piles of debt. It'll be $22 trillion this time next year. And the unfunded obligations, liabilities, realistically is over $200 trillion, 10 times the national debt. That's the dirty little secret. And what happens as more and more the baby boom generation becomes eligible first for Medicare and then Social Security? What will balloon? The national debt, the deficits will balloon. We need to think out of the box. We need to get back to basics. We need politicians that will tell the truth as opposed to telling you lies and tell you what they think you want to hear instead of telling you what you really need to hear. The United States is in deep financial trouble, and we need a booming economy, a growing economy, not one at 2%, but at 4, 5, 6%. And we're never going to get there until you have fundamental tax reform, cutting taxes. And by fundamental tax reform, I mean replacing an income tax system based on income and replacing it on a tax system based on the consumption of new goods and services. And neither party is advocating that, although there have been many economists that have advocated it, but they differ as to the details. You're never going to get to a consistent 4, 5, 6%, not for a quarter, but year in, year out, year in, year out. That is the only way that the United States can get out of this mess, other than declaring defaulting on the debt. And that's exactly where we're headed. Now, they'll do a lot of things to avoid that. What they're eroding is your purchasing power. I always get a kick at, we make a big deal about the Federal Reserve. Oh, yes, I want to abolish the IRS and the Federal Reserve. In my mind, the biggest failure is the Federal Reserve System. Why do I say that? The laws went in effect in 1913. They were open for business, if you will, in 1914. What is their number one goal? Is price stability. They also are a lender of last resort. I have no problem with that at all. It's the fact that their number one responsibility was price stability. What is a 1914 dollar worth today? I'll tell you, less than 3 cents. As a matter of fact, I need to maybe recalculate. I think it's less than 2 cents today. And inflation comes back, it'll be under a penny. Ladies and gentlemen, over 100 years, 104 years, and your dollar went from being worth a dollar to 1 or 2 pennies? That's price stability? No, it's not. That is what I call is a failed institution. Now, why did they do that? I always laugh at, the Fed needs to be independent. If you believe in that, you believe in fairies. Why do I say that? The Treasury, especially during war, but also now, and the Fed, they talk all the time. And what did they do from December 2008 until, I think, October of 2015? They deliberately manipulated the federal funds rate to keep it near zero, the near zero interest rate. I'm going to get the signal that I got to wrap it up. Why did they do that? They made the debt of the United States cheap so they could pay their bills. They're issuing more and more debt. It wasn't in any way a market rate. If you want to know what the federal funds market rate should be, or where in a range, somewhere between 3 and 4%, not between 1.75 and 2%. It's to keep the debt, the cost of carrying the debt of the United States, low. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called financial repression. Who got hurt? Anyone that saves money. Creditors got hurt. Debtors, and the biggest debtor is the United States. That's the manipulation. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the increase in credit and money supply should typically be between 3 and 4%. Now, if the economy were consistently growing at 4, 5, 6%, okay, between 4, 5, 6% the money supply. That's not how it works. They want to keep the cost of capital for the United States of America cheap, the Treasury securities cheap, and that's what they're doing. Now, because I've got the signal I got to wrap it up, I got to decide what am I going to talk about, because I simply do not have time. It looks like GDP might hit 5% in the third quarter. We'll know October, I think it's 26. That's an important date because it's right before the election. Keep in mind this is the advance estimate. That would be good news. The third story I was going to cover is SNAP. Or food stamps, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. There were proposals by this administration to change the SNAP program where it's food stamps. And the good news is the number of Americans receiving food stamps or SNAP is under 40 million. It's gone down. It hit about 46, 47 million. And it should go down as the economy grows at a higher rate and fewer people are unemployed, as wages grow, salaries grow. In other words, to the extent the economy is growing, booming, the number of people on food stamps should go down. Keep in mind that somewhere between 40 and 50% of the people that are getting this assistance, it's really for people making no income or low income, and 40 to 50% are children. I bring that up because I was curious as to the reaction of the media to this. What the Trump administration proposed is people get a part of their benefits would still be on SNAP, and the remaining would be boxes of food selected by the government, delivered to your house. I'm of the generation that says you shouldn't take welfare, you shouldn't take food stamps. Even if you're starving, you shouldn't do it. It's really a family responsibility, church, community, not the federal government's responsibility. I'm not a fan of food stamps or SNAP, but I do believe that the truly needy should get some assistance, temporary assistance. And the phrase is beggars can't be choosers. The box of food would contain milk, you know, this powdered milk that you can put on the shelf, not in a refrigerator, peanut butter, cereal, canned goods, and the liberal left in this. Oh, my God. Excuse me. If you're hungry and if your family's hungry, you should want this. Now, I looked at it and I said, I don't think this is the way to go because the government's going to set up a distribution network to deliver boxes. This doesn't make much sense because people can go to their local grocery store or convenience store and get food. So I don't think it makes much sense, quite frankly. And remember, it's a proposal. I don't think it's going to be passed. Finally, I've covered this in past shows, but I'll cover it one more time very briefly. What the economic problem in the United States today, governments at all levels are spending too much money. We have government that the American people simply cannot afford. And until that gets straightened out, and it will be straightened out one way or the other, because you got governments have to pay the bills. Only the federal government can print money or issue debt. But what is a more serious problem that really affects your health, my health, and the health of your children? It's obesity, folks. Obesity leads to serious health problems. And like I said in the introduction, almost 40% of the American people are obese. You're fat. More than fat, you're way overweight. And you can see it. And I have a picture of Donald Trump. He's obese. Now, he might get his doctor to say he's right on the line. He's obese, folks. He could be the poster boy of obese. I'm obese. So I know what I speak of. Now I'm trying to do something about it, and it's going to take me time. But that's the number one health problem. It's a big risk factor. And what's even, and if you add the number of people overweight, both of them together, over 70%, more than two-thirds, over 70% of the American people are overweight and obese. And this causes high health care bills. Why do you think the cost of health care has gone up, up, and up? And it gets worse as you grow older. It's obesity. You should be responsible for what you eat, and that's important, and how much you eat. And you need exercise. We're not dealing with it. There's no leadership. Have you heard the president or congressmen and senators? This is the number one health problem facing the American people, and you almost hear no stories on it. You know what you hear stories on? And this is why I covered it today. The people's pets are fat. Their cats, their dogs are fat. So fat people have fat pets. This is a scandal. The United States needs to be an example of a physically fit country, not a nation of fat slobs. And go to any college and high school, you will be amazed at how fat people have become. And then look at their teachers, and then look at their pets. I'm getting on about this because self-responsibility and reliance on yourself used to be what America was about. Not anymore. People are with their hands out, dependent on the government. And what is the government doing? Not only is the government fat, obese, they have suffered from spending addiction disorder, but so are the politicians, so are the bureaucrats, and so are the people. You need to change. I need to change. You need to be responsible for yourself. This is the number one health issue in the United States, and we're hearing next to nothing about it. Nothing about it. Look at the politicians. Look at the president. Look at even Vice President Pence. I call it fat-ass America, and that's exactly what we've become. It's not a shining example of what Americans should be. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.